Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Broadband Exchange, which is Telecompetitor's podcast. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. Today, we're starting a three-part series about the BEAD program, speaking with Lori Adams, Vice President of Broadband Policy and Funding Strategy for Nokia. Nokia has shown leadership in rural broadband in particular as it relates to the BEAD program. In 2023, Nokia was the first to announce U.S. manufacturing of broadband network electronics products for the BEAD program. And in 2024, Nokia was the first technology vendor to self-certify its fiber products manufactured in the U.S. for BEAD, ensuring each is Buy America compliant. Today's guest, Lori Adams, is a key member of the Nokia Government Affairs Americas team. In her role, Adams is responsible for developing strategies and tools to enable increased company participation in state, federal, and international programs, supporting infrastructure deployment by Nokia's business organizations. Adams is a highly skilled telecommunications attorney and senior executive with more than 20 years' experience and a successful track record in the government and private sector. This includes extensive experience with business development, federal, state, and local telecommunications issues, legal and regulatory matters, grant funding, municipal broadband, strategic planning, project management for large, complex projects, public policy, government affairs, lobbying, and public speaking. Adams has a Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology from the American University and is an honors graduate of the University of Baltimore School of Law. This first episode is about lessons learned from early BEAD awards. Our next episode will be about BEAD procurement challenges, and the third episode in the series will be about BEAD deployment challenges. Just a quick note before we dive into the podcast. The status of the BEAD program remains a developing story, and we expect there to be some substantive changes to the program once a new NTIA administrator is confirmed. But for now, BEAD is business as usual without any delays or changes. Telecompetitor and Nokia are committed to being a source for accurate and timely BEAD information and will continue to keep you updated as additional program information becomes available. Let's get into it. So Louisiana, Delaware, and Nevada have all announced early BEAD funding awards. What trends are you seeing, or what insights do you take away from those results?
Hey, thanks, Ian. That's a great question. It's finally, after waiting for so long, we finally have some results to talk about here. So let's start with Delaware, just because it's, you know, its own state, small state, of course. They only had about 5,000 locations that they awarded to Verizon as their official BEAD award. They also, the press release also indicated that Comcast was going to be investing their own dollars and building out to some BEAD eligible locations, but they weren't going to be funded through the BEAD program. So they're going to be doing that on their dime, but they reference it because it's BEAD eligible locations that they're building out to. So Delaware is kind of its own thing. You know, Louisiana and Nevada, we have some really interesting kind of lessons learned here. Louisiana, as the first state to list their provisional awards, they achieved 96% fiber with their BEAD program. And they had somewhere around $1.3 billion to play with as part of their allocation. They ended up actually reserving approximately $500 million of that for non-deployment activities. And they kind of list out a variety of things that they're going to be addressing with those non-deployment funds. So the remaining amount of money is going to be reaching somewhere around almost 140,000 BEAD eligible locations, 96% fiber. The biggest award went to a consortium of two ISPs, T-Mobile, and is backed by private equity. And so, AT&T received a large award and some other folks on down. So it was a pretty interesting mix of companies overall. A few takeaways. In December, I was at an event and heard the Louisiana Broadband Office talk about their awards and kind of in detail. And they were referencing the fact that, you know, they, again, 96% fiber, and the companies that won knew the program rules inside and out. They really worked hard at it. The consortium, I guess, maybe formed a year before the actual applications. I don't know if they were submitted or the award came out, but they were working on this for a long time together as a team, essentially. And, one of the key takeaways from that in Louisiana was that, you know, those who put their best foot forward, those who took this seriously, planned, spent time thinking about how to achieve the most scores on their application were the ones who won. Now, let's shift over to Nevada. So Nevada is the first Western state, the first really rural state to issue provisional awards for BEAD. And they had, you know, of course, a smaller amount of money that to play around with than Louisiana. They achieved 80% fiber. So the notion that, you know, for some of these rural states that all the money is going to go to fixed wireless or other alternate technologies at least did not play out in Nevada. Nevada is looking at 80% fiber. And once again, there were a couple of standout big winners and then everyone else kind of taking little, smaller chunks of the bead pie in Nevada. So there's a lot of interesting similarities. A lot of local companies won, companies that are familiar to the state broadband offices, familiar to Louisiana and Nevadans. They are local service providers. So there's a lot of, interesting key takeaways. But one thing I want to kind of mention is that the vast majority of locations were served. I mean, I think, they've achieved their goal of reaching all of their BEAD locations, whether it's through fiber, whether it was through to a smaller percentage, some satellite. So the notion that no one is interested in applying for BEAD or, what if we see locations that don't get picked up by anybody, both Louisiana and Nevada found ways to achieve their goal.
Great. So these trends that you're seeing in these early awards, do you expect these trends will continue?
I do. And, this morning in prep for this, I was looking at the Colorado website because they have, they completed their grant process the grant window closed back in October. And they've listed some statistics for who applied for BEAD in Colorado. The state received 185 applications. They received an application for every county in the state. There are no counties that did not receive a BEAD application. Priority Broadband Project applications received the lion's share of this. Of the 185, 139 are to Priority Broadband, which is fiber licensed fixed wireless. There's 30 types of entities that provided. There's kind of a mix. Colorado, of course, has a lot of municipalities and municipal electrics. And so, almost 10% of those applications are submitted by municipalities, local government, public or private utility. The lion's share, 76%, were submitted by non-ILEC service providers. So that's essentially CLECs, ISPs, CSPs, everyone else. And then there's a smaller percentage, 1% electric cooperative, 3% ILEC, 3% tribal. So it was kind of an interesting mix. And then 8% other, we don't know what other is. I'm assuming it's maybe some consortiums, nonprofits, et cetera. So, it's a similar, type of thing we're seeing across the states play out. And Colorado received many more applications for funding than they have dollars for.
All right. So you started getting into this a little bit, especially talking about consortiums and things like that. But for those whose BEAD applications were successful, what strategies do you think are working and are going to continue to work?
The strategies that are working are, education, right? The ISPs or the companies, the applicants that know the rules, that know the program rules, understand how the program works, and can effectively communicate their vision in an application and achieve the highest score possible are the ones who are winning. We talk a lot over the last year, folks did, about this thing called a scoring rubric, and every state has a kind of a model for how they're going to grade the applications and evaluate them and score them. And that scoring criteria is the most important thing in the application process, right? You have to be able to get those points. The highest, those who achieve the maximum points will win. One thing that's important is that there are multiple applications being submitted for the same project area. So there's a lot of competition here. Even in Colorado, where you had, you know, maybe there's a couple counties where you only had one application submitted, but by and large, you're seeing multiple applications for the same counties for the same project areas. So achieving that score, understanding how the scoring rubric works is really the most important thing. Making sure that you dot those I's, cross that T, and know how the rules and compliance works.
Great. What would you say? A lot of companies you've talked about have been working on this for a year or more, right? What about companies that are maybe just starting to get their acts together and think about applying for funds in states where that's still coming up? What would you say to them?
You don't have any time left, right? You have to kind of really dig in deep. We have a lot of states. We have, you know, probably half a dozen states where the grant window has closed. A bunch more that are opening up this week, rolling forward. The time is now. But if you are just now starting to look at an application, for most states, there's a couple states that are, you know, further down the line, like, Texas is on the back end of things, but by and large, you know, you're out of time. So you really have to pull everything together, focus hard, look at that scoring rubric, make sure that, because if you can't achieve the highest score possible, if you're leaving points on the table, you might not be competitive enough. And, you know, we saw that in Louisiana, there are some applicants who, they managed to become pre-qualified. They participated in the qualification round. They got pre-qualified, but then they didn't have enough time to put together a compelling application and ultimately were not funded. So it's, I'm not sure if that's the sole reason why somebody lost in Louisiana or Nevada, but it's certainly, you know, you're trying to play catch up with people who have been focused on this for, you know, a long time. So it's, that's kind of the big takeaway. The other takeaway too is the local awards here. And what we are seeing is that most of the winners are from our local companies. So they're known in the States, they're winning in the States. So it's, say all politics is local, all broadband is local.
So is there anything else you would say to providers or other entities or consortiums in states where they might still be putting their applications together?
Look at what the states are that have finished their proposals, right? Look at Louisiana, look at Nevada, see what worked there. And I want to say this for the consortium. And so we're seeing a lot of private equity participation. In Louisiana for sure, but also if you look at some of the states like Arkansas who have pre-qualified applicants and then published that list, there's like 40 or 50, almost 50 applicants or somewhere around there in Arkansas. And there are some consortiums in there. There are some private equity funded groups in there. And in Louisiana, their big local fiber consortium who won the most BEAD dollars, what's interesting is that each member of the consortium is going to have its own contract with the state. And so it's not as though you don't have to come up with some necessarily this legally binding consortium arrangement. You know, you can pull something together for the benefit of the application. And then, you know, assuming that a lot of states adopt what Louisiana did, each member of that consortium will have your own contract. So you won't be, you know, you will be running reimbursements and things like that through other entities or partners in the consortium. So it's a lot cleaner that way. It's a lot easier to kind of pull together sort of an umbrella application rather than, try and piece together something in a weird way. So consortiums are really beneficial. That turnkey solution, you know, states are looking for companies who can achieve the most bang for the buck. Or applications that can achieve the most bang for the buck, right? Remember, they have to put this puzzle together of all of these locations. And if you can provide them kind of an easy path or an easy solution, then you'll have a strong chance of winning.
Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange, and thank you to our guest, Lori Adams, Vice President of Broadband Policy and Funding Strategy for Nokia. Nokia Rural Broadband Solutions help you create new revenue streams while delivering growth opportunities for your community. Let's work together to close the digital divide. In our next episode, we'll talk with Lori about BEAD procurement challenges, and in our third and final episode of the series, we'll discuss BEAD deployment challenges. Thank you for listening. Visit Telecompetitor at telecompetitor.com and feel free to drop us a line. We'll see you in the next episode.